This is a production from the Yak Podcasting Network. The home for your growing sonic map of local voices united in their commitment to the best in podcasting.
Welcome back to episode number 22 of the Until the Whistle podcast. I'm your host, Marcus Myers, and happy to be back. I'm recording on the evening of Monday, April 1st. Hopefully should have some pretty good content for you guys this week. Kind of going to quickly touch on Pro Day, just a few things that I heard coming out of it. I didn't attend, so I'm kind of reporting on the reporting, if you will, and then go over some things that I saw in practice, some things that I think we can, you know, kind of take from the first, you know, 2 full weeks of spring practice. Now I was able to go out to practice on both Friday morning and then Saturday morning as well when they scrimmaged, and you know, just have an opportunity to talk about some of the key takeaways that I had from that. Before I get into the football stuff, though, I guess I will talk a little bit about what I've done since the last time I was on the podcast. If you remember, I had my good friend Natasha Hastings on. Really enjoyed doing that episode, and so probably going to do some more things like that. But we went to down to Prairie View A&M for the PV relays and had an opportunity to work with some young girls there. And so I think we had a really good turnout. Tasha was able to share a really good message with the young ladies there. And so I think they'll have some things that they can take away and be able to implement in the things that they're doing in their lives. So that was a really good thing. That wasn't this past Friday, but the Friday before. And then this past weekend was also Texas Relays in Austin. So that was really good. I take that back. I went to Texas Relays last year with Tosh, but went again this year. And it was really good to, you know, just get out there. My dad has been taking me to Texas Relays since I can remember. He has some friends and family that he always attends it with, sits in the same spot every year since I can remember. My dad, you know, was going to Texas Relays all the way back to when, you know, the likes of Carl Lewis and them were competing, and Texas Relays was being held inside the football stadium where the track was still around the stadium before Mike A. Myers was built. So it's always good for me to be able to get back out there. Track was always one of the sports that I loved a great deal. Have some, you know, really, really good lifelong friends in Natasha Hastings and Jeremy Warner, Doc Patton. Met a number of people over the years through some athletic endeavors and, you know, just mutual acquaintances. And those people have, you know, kind of stayed with me as really good friends and people in my life. And so it's really cool to see how they're transitioning now that the majority of them, or the majority of the people that I knew, are no longer running. There's it's interesting just seeing that, you know, like a lot of them are coaching now. So Jeremy, you know, like I mentioned, he's, you know, standout 400 meter runner from Baylor, had a really successful professional career. And now he's coaching at a private school in the Dallas area. Again, you know, like I mentioned, Doc Patton, he went to TCU, was a year or two ahead of me, but I actually went to undergrad with his wife. And so, you know, have a connection there, and it was just good getting to see them, hang out with them, watch what they're doing, spend some time with them. My best friend came down from Dallas also, and so he and I went to a day party after the track meet, and it was just good to, you know, kind of be around that atmosphere again, because like I said, I've always enjoyed track, and it was just cool to see some of the competition this weekend. And then on a slightly more somber note, extremely more somber note, you know, I've never been one to really be moved a great deal when celebrities pass. And that's not for me lacking empathy or compassion. I just, you know, if a lot of times it's hard for me to, but I didn't have some kind of personal connection, I guess it's hard for me, you know, to really feel anything. But yesterday, Nipsey Hussle was killed in the Los Angeles area. And so for those of you who aren't aware of who he is, he's a rapper in the L.A. area that's done or from L.A. And has done a lot to try to introduce his community to tech, introduce young people in the area to STEM and just ways of trying to better their lives. And so he always spoke about empowering his people, you know, empowering Black people to invest in property, invest in themselves, invest in knowledge. And he really was, you know, the epitome of someone that was living to be the change he wanted to see. And so, you know, when I heard that he was like gunned down in front of his own store in the neighborhood that he, you know, grew up in and has poured so much back into, it was just really, you know, heartbreaking. And so, you know, certainly my, you know, prayers and my thoughts go out to, you know, his family and loved ones, especially his kids. And it's just, I don't know, you know, I found myself questioning, you know, why do people get taken when they do? And especially when it seems like they're doing really good things. And it just shows you, you know, how far we still have to go as a people that, you know, oftentimes people are gone, you know, well before they, you know, should have been. And so this man was 33 years old. Like I said, doing tons and tons for the community there, and really just the community abroad. He was just encouraging people to look beyond their circumstances and do things that, you know, could really help pour into the community and have some lasting effects. And so, you know, he'll be greatly missed. You know, I know I spent, you know, most of last night listening to one of my favorite albums was, you know, the most recent one that he put out was Victory Lap. But then even going back to some of his stuff from like 2013 on his Crenshaw album and just, you know, that was really tough to hear about his passing. It's sad. It's unfortunate. And it's just a reminder that, you know, once again, every day is not promised to us. And so, you know, we got to live it to the fullest. So, you know, certainly was impacted by that. And I'm going to do my best to try to live out, you know, some of the principles that, you know, he was showing in his day to day life. So quickly, we'll talk about Pro Day, you know, switching gears. I think the biggest story coming out of, you know, Pro Day that just seemed odd to me is that little Jordan Humphrey, you know, didn't run routes because, you know, he, quote, hadn't run routes in a while. And like when I heard that, I was just like, what? Like, your receiver, like your job is to run routes, you know, so I mean, run routes, catch the ball. Right. But, you know, so it just seemed odd to me. His entire process since he's declared for the draft has been a bit baffling to me. That being said, I'm not going to be too hard on him in that, you know, at the end of the day, I think we all know he can play ball. But I think he, you know, probably has done himself a disservice by maybe not adequately preparing in the way that he could have to maximize you know, his potential and possibly where he could be taken in the draft. So, you know, I think that's certainly going to call a number of teams into question, you know, his preparation and kind of some of the things that, you know, went into his combine prep and then his pro day prep. But at the end of the day, you just need a team to take a chance on you. So, you know, I'm going to remain hopeful, prayerful that he lands somewhere that'll give him an opportunity to show his talent. Because, of course, what we've seen on the field is that, you know, he has the ability to be special. So, you know, hopefully he'll be able to bounce back from that and have a good NFL career. Aside from that, you know, I think at least the reports that came out of Pro Day was that, you know, guys like Calvin Anderson did a lot to help themselves. He did 30 reps on bench. And then that both Andrew Beck and PJ Locke performed really well. So, you know, good to hear some positive signs coming out of there. It sounds like, you know, still a little bit ways to go in getting the type of attention at our pro day that, you know, we used to have it during Coach Brown's heyday, during the time that I was playing and guys, you know, a little bit before and a little bit after me. But I think with the talent that Coach Herman's bringing in, they're, you know, getting closer and closer to being back at that point. So, you know, I know I didn't really spend too much time there, but I think it was just because I wanted to give adequate time to turn my attention to the current team. There's some things that, you know, I've really been excited about, and I haven't really talked about them in spring practice just yet. And so try to run down some highlights of some things that you know, were coming out of the first week of camp before they went on spring break. And then a couple of things that, you know, I've at least been able to kind of see with my eye. And I guess before I do that, I'll say this. I'm by no means what I would call a member of the media. You know, I'm a guy that enjoys Texas football, enjoys sports, period. But, you know, Texas football holds a special place in my heart. And so, you know, I try to get on this podcast and give some insights here and there, state my opinion. But in no way will I ever, you know, speak about the program in a way that I think dishonors, you know, the things that I've learned when I was there. And so one of the principles or one of the things that we had, and I know, you know, guys, you know, have ways of getting information and that kind of thing. But one of the things that we, you know, I think talked about was the importance when I was there was the importance of team, the importance of family, and feeling like, you know, there's kind of something sacred to that. So I'm saying that all to say I probably won't be giving out, you know, who was running with the ones, who was running with the twos. I'll kind of speak in some, I guess, generalities in some areas. In other areas, I'll be, you know, specific about some of the guys that I saw. But I probably won't be talking a whole lot of X's and O's and that kind of thing. But, you know, just kind of some general impressions and takeaways that I've been able to, you know, surmise after watching them practice 2 days in a row. Like I said, I went out there first thing Friday morning to watch the team and then again on Saturday morning. And so before I get to those, though, like I said, let me just hit on some of the, I guess, the major things that, you know, were kind of going on. I think one of the hallmarks of this spring practice is actually who's not participating. So I'll kind of just go down the line. Patrick Hudson, you know, it came out that he retired from football. So, you know, I did see him out there at each of the practices, you know, just doing some different things to kind of help out with the team. But he is not competing anymore just due to some, you know, different health issues and I guess wanting to, you know, ultimately be able to maintain a good quality of life. So he retired from football, but is still with the team. So it's good to see him out there and still active. To begin the first week of practice, Keandre Coburn was held out. He had a kidney issue. And it seems like those things have resolved itself because he practiced this past week. You know, like I said, for both of the practices I was out there, he was out there in full go. He wasn't, you know, limited or anything like that. So it's certainly good to see him. Then you had guys like Caleb Johnson, who was being held out, the linebacker. JUCO transfer was being held out until after spring break. He came back. Devin Duvernay was being held out after spring break. He came back. John Burt is, as Coach Herman pointed out, 100% focused on track and field, and they expect him back for fall camp. But, you know, he's an exceptional hurdler, and so they fully support him in that regard. I had a chance to see him compete at Texas Relays, where they also honored all of the seniors that are part of the Texas Track and Field program. So he was a part of that celebration. And so, you know, it's just a number of guys that aren't competing, but that gives others opportunities, and there's still more. So I guess kind of sticking with the wide receiver theme, Colin Johnson hasn't been participating in team drills. So that gives, you know, other guys an opportunity to step in. And I'll talk a bit about who some of those guys that have stepped in and stepped up are. And then even Brew McCoy in the couple of days I was out there was competing in a lot of the different position drills, but not in the team drills or in the scrimmage. So, you know, he's probably just a little bit nicked up. I think it's been reported that, you know, by some outlets that I think he was dealing with a shoulder issue or something. But don't quote me on that because I'm not entirely certain. And that wasn't something that I asked about. And then back on the defense side of the ball, I think the one that's probably most concerning is DeGabriel Floyd, the stud linebacker out of college that enrolled early, or out of California, I'm sorry, that enrolled early in January and he still has not yet been cleared for contact. So he's waiting on some tests from like some lingering effects of a neck injury in high school. And of course, you know, anything with your neck is serious. You know, seeing him out there, he's not even, you know, dressed out fully. And so I'm sure he's chomping at the bit to, you know, be able to get out there. He certainly looks the part, you know, just seeing him, you know, in pants and a jersey. I mean, the kid is very well put together. He came in, I think, at like 240, you know, so he looks the part of a college linebacker. I think we just got to make sure that he's healthy enough so he can get out there and run and hit and do the things that, you know, that people know that he can do. And then along those same lines, B.J. Foster last Monday left practice to be evaluated for a head injury. He took a knee to the head and was being evaluated for that. So the 2 days I was out there, I didn't see him practicing. He was up there with the with the guys that, you know, tend to work in that regard and trying to get back onto the field. Caden Stearns underwent a minor knee procedure that will keep him out for the remainder of the spring drills. And so, you know, that comes after him, you know, pretty much going like a full year dealing with knee issues. And so I think, you know, it's probably a good time for him to be able to, you know, recover from that injury and, you know, recover fully. And so, you know, there's a lot of concerns in that regard, but, you know, brought in probably the best receiver or best DB haul that, you know, I think we've ever had. And certainly, you know, in a lot of places, you know, could be considered one of the greatest DB hauls ever. And so that gives plenty of people opportunity to step up. And so, you know, I would say particularly on Friday, there was a number of people that caught my eye. So I'll kind of run down through some of that. You know, kind of just give my overall impressions of what I saw from the team. One thing that I found to be really cool and, you know, just continues to show, Coach Herman, not leaving anything to chance and wanting to, you know, just bring, as many, you know, smart people, knowledgeable football people around the program as possible is that I got to see, Coach Greg Davis, out there. He was kind of serving as a consultant. And, you know, I had a chance to talk to him for a few minutes. He was a guy that recruited me when I was at Texas. He was kind of in charge of like the Central Texas area. And so me being a kid from Austin, you know, he pulled me into the fold. And so I'm forever grateful to him. He's living in the Dallas area, but, you know, doing some consulting. So it was good to see him out there and, you know, kind of talking to the coaches and giving them, you know, some of his ideas and that kind of thing. And then, you know, then it got into the practice, which was it was different. You know, it's, you know, I'm not sharing anything that's not already out there. So I feel comfortable in saying this, that, you know, Sam was sick, both, Friday and Saturday. And so, you know, it gave the way I like to call it, it gave the pups, a chance to get all the reps. And so that was, Casey Thompson and Roshan Johnson. You know, Casey got all the reps with the ones, Roshan took all the reps with the twos, both days that I was out there. And I thought, you know, for the most part, they did well. I mean, they, you know, are having a lot of things thrown at them, and they responded well. You know, they're certainly not Sam, but they don't have to be right now. And, you know, he certainly had some things that he had to grow in, but both of them, you know, can do some really nice things with the ball. They both can do some nice things with their feet. And so, it was good to see them go out there. I think one of the cool things that I heard Coach Herman really stressing to the team was competitive focus. And, you know, something else that he just kind of pointed out was, you know, around here, we don't get ready, we stay ready. And that really, you know, to me, I think that was a very, very true statement. You know, at any given time, you're one play away from your number being called, and you always have to you know, be able to, you know, step up to the plate and, you know, make sure that your teammates can rely on you. And so that was something that, you know, Coach Herman was kind of stressing when he called the team up at the beginning of practice. You know, he pointed out, you know, last he checked that Sam had missed a game, you know, this past season. And so, you know, people can't just rely on him to be the sole source of energy for the team that people need to rally around. Casey, rally around Roshan, because at any given time they can be called upon and they need to be ready and they need to, be able to, show themselves well. And so I think, from hearing that, Coach Herman really did a good job of setting the tone for the day. And I think the guys responded well. For the most part, I think I primarily kind of focused on the secondary on Friday. And I saw a lot of really good things out of Demarion Overshawn, a lot of really good things out of Chris Brown. Both of them were getting some run at safety. Deshaun Jameson looks really good at corner, seems to be very natural there. And so I can see how, he was there coming out of high school. And then Anthony Green. I mean, he just looks like your prototypical corner. Not Anthony Green. I'm sorry. Jalen Green. He looks like your prototypical corner. And so, I think from a secondary position or secondary standpoint, we're blessed to have a number of really talented individuals there. And so with some of these guys being out, your Caden Stearns, your BJ Fosters, it's giving other guys a chance to step up. Josh Thompson is getting first crack at that nickel position. He made some really big plays, saw him have a good pass breakup in practice. And again, he's just somebody that kind of looks the part. Demarion Overshawn just completely like annihilated somebody on a pass on Friday. And so it was good to see that, he still has some of that in him. And then even getting to see a guy like Montrell Estell, I think is his name. Just big safety, runs well, just seems to kind of be flying all over the field. And so I was really impressed with just kind of overall what they put together. And so Friday was a good practice. It was a little bit shorter. They were trying to kind of keep them fresh for the scrimmage that was going to come to Saturday. And so it was cool, going back out there, first thing Saturday morning and checking them compete. It was also neat to see, a number of, former players both at UT and then at other stops. I think you've seen on probably Texas social media that both Cardale Jones and JT Barrett were out there. And so, they were around the quarterbacks. And, it's good just for, people that have been in Coach Herman's system to be around some of those guys. I'm sure they were able to kind of, give some words of wisdom and encouragement to Casey and to Roshan, some little things that they were probably able to pick up here and there. So that was cool to see. You had, some of the former players that, were at UT out there. So Emmanuel Acho, Quandre Diggs was there. Charles Amenihue was out there. Malik Jefferson was out there. There's somebody else I'm missing. Played safety, plays for the Ravens now. Deshaun Elliott, he was out there. So it was cool to see those guys come back, continuing, to, want to pour back into the program and allow guys, the opportunity to just kind of see them around. And then even towards the end of practice, Marquise Goodwin even came out there. And so, it was good seeing some of those guys, still around the program, still – giving their input and encouragement and, just also kind of being a representation of, what guys can work towards and what if, you work hard, what you have the ability to possibly achieve. I'm not the biggest recruiting guru per se, but I can share that a guy that I saw out there that I know is a big time Texas target and that became even more clear to me when I saw him in person was Troy O'Meary. I don't know if I'm saying his name correctly, so I apologize if I'm pronouncing that wrong, but I know he's a Texas A&M commit, and I know he's been reported to continue to show up on UT's campus, and he was there again on Saturday. He was getting, the full treatment from Brian Carrington, was walking him around, making sure that he met different guys. He was, right behind the huddle. It was, certainly apparent that Coach Herman was giving him some attention. And so he is a big kid. Like, he is in the mold of the, you know, little Jordan Humphreys and, you know, Colin Johnson's, you know, the mold of the big receiver that it seems like we've been going after as of late. And so I can completely see why, because he fits right in with kind of what it seems like they've been recruiting at that position. And, you know, I also say this, Anwar had said last week in one of his podcasts that, you know, when for people to, you know, I guess let him know if he was, you know, kind of tripping or not about thinking that the receivers were, you know, just some really big dudes. And he's not at all. You know, when you're out there and you see Colin Johnson, Malcolm Epps, Brennan Eagles, Brew McCoy, like these guys are huge. And it's really cool to see because they each kind of have a slightly different skill set. But you can kind of tell what they're trying to do with those big receivers on the outside, paired with, you know, some faster, shiftier guys on the insides. You know, it was really neat to watch them work. I'll just be flat out honest. You know, I think one of the guys that impressed me most was Malcolm Epps. You know, with Colin kind of being out, he's assumed that same role that Colin has been in. And I mean, you know, he flat out dominated in the scrimmage, in my opinion. I want to say I had him catching like 7 balls. And, you know, they kind of ranged from a 9 route, you know, go up and get it type thing, you know, where he would, you know, go and just make an athletic grab up over the defender, to a couple of times he, you know, ran maybe an 8 to 10 yard in. Even a couple of hitches, you know, where it took a couple of guys to bring him down. And so, I had kind of been of the impression that he would be a perfect move tight end. You know, but maybe there is, you know, some room for him to get some run at, outside receiver. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, when we have the full assortment of all of our weapons in the fall, you know, with Colin and, you know, like I said, Brennan Eagles and Devin Duvernay, and then, you know, you even got the guys that are coming in and like Jake Smith and those types, how he's deployed. But they're certainly, you know, making a pretty concentrated effort to get him the ball. Casey, you know, certainly feels comfortable throwing the ball up to him and giving him an opportunity to make a play. And I think it's what you have to do when you have guys that are that physically imposing. And he's doing a good job of taking advantage of the opportunity. I don't think I saw him drop a single ball during the scrimmage. And so he just looked really good out there, man. I think it was good to see. Brennan Eagles also looked really good. Joshua Moore looked really good. So, you know, seeing guys like that out there, you know, trying to capitalize on the opportunity that they're getting and some of the reps was impressive. I also was really impressed by what the running backs did. You know, they didn't really do a ton in the way of just, you know, traditional carries per se. I think each of them had, you know, ripped off some pretty good runs here and there. You know, I think Kirk Johnson had a really good long run that I think showed up on social media on the Texas football social media account. Keonta Ingram, you know, ripped off a couple of good runs back to back. And then Jordan Whittington really just, I mean, he completely showed himself to be the real deal. He did a lot coming out of the backfield. And so you can see that, you know, they're going to make a concentrated effort to get him the ball and get him the ball in space. You know, he ran some with both units, you know, both the first unit and the second unit. And so looks good, like, you know, they're doing a good job of trying to get him acclimated and implemented. And then, you know, honestly, where I think it really all starts and ends is up front, you know. And I think the battle in the trenches is finally starting to be one in which you know, you go too deep at both of them and feel, you know, pretty good about the level of competition that's there. So the entire scrimmage was ones versus ones, twos versus twos. And, you know, I think both sides, you know, had their moments. I think one of the things, though, that, you know, especially the defensive line has to work on is making sure that, you know, they limit their penalties. They had a number of offsides calls during the game, and I think that's, you know, or during the scrimmage rather, and I think that's, you know, kind of ultimately what led the offense to winning, quote unquote, the scrimmage. It's just some mistakes made on their end. But, you know, overall, I think, you know, the guys look pretty good out there. You know, like I said, Keandre Coburn looked good. There was a fourth and one stop that he made that, you know, he was certainly excited about. And the team was very excited about him making that play. Malcolm Roach looked good out there. A guy that I really have come to like is Taquan Graham. Seems to have the respect of his peers and, you know, willing to be vocal out there. You know, I know everybody continues to talk about Joseph Asai, and for good reason. I mean, he is just, you know, what you would want in a pass rusher, you know, just long, fast, explosive. And so it was, you know, like I said, it was just good seeing guys like him out there. And then even guys like Byron Vaughns, I think is his name, number 50. He's just, you know, put together really well, has a lot of length. And it's just, you know, a guy that you can continue to see growing into the role. And so, you know, that's kind of what I can remember for the most part off the top of my head. You know, it was just really good to see, you know, these guys out there and competing, you know, out there trying to ultimately earn reps in the fall, right? I mean, this is where most of it is won in the offseason, and you show your coaches, you know, kind of what you're made of. And then for Coach Herman, you know, the way he's described it, he often, you know, has a lot of the lineup set before, you know, you ever even get to fall camp. And so I think they're, you know, certainly well on their way. There's still, you know, a number of things that they're going to have to do and improve upon. But to be at the halfway juncture of spring ball, I think they're doing really well. So they'll go Monday. Well, this is Monday evening, so they practice this morning early. They'll practice again Wednesday, Friday, Saturday. They'll have another scrimmage. Then they'll have practice again next Monday, Wednesday, Friday of next week before the spring game next weekend. I, unfortunately, will not be able to make the spring game, so I'm probably going to have to wait until I've gotten to watch the TV copy of it next weekend. A couple of good friends of mine, one of which is a UT grad, are getting married in Punta Cana. And so I'm going to go down there for their wedding. Looking forward to that because it'll be a good vacation for me. It's going to be the first time I'm truly going to unplug from the 9-to-5 job while I'm on a vacation. Other times I've made myself accessible and found myself still working even when I'm technically off. This time I think I'm really going to just unplug and do the good old do not disturb or out of office, and we'll return your messages when I get back. So still trying to kind of figure out if I'm going to do another podcast next week. I may try and see if I can get out to practice again this week. If not Friday and Saturday, hopefully Saturday for sure, to see if they scrimmage again, and catch them in some live bullets, and then maybe have the opportunity, maybe record one more podcast next Monday just to kind of update, if that seems like it's worth it. If not, you know, I may wait again and get back on the 2-week cycle when I come back from the Dominican Republic, and may just wait until I've had a chance to watch the spring game, kind of take it in, get some of my take there. But, you know, typically I think I get a little bit more from the practices because, you know, a lot of times by the time the spring game comes, they've already done, you know, some of their decision-making, scheming, if you will, whatever you want to call it. And then by the time you get to the spring game, since it is something that, you know, is for public consumption, it is something that, you know, people can get tape of, you know, tend to keep things a little more vanilla and close to the vest. So me personally, I tend to get a little bit more out of practice than I do the spring game, but I understand that it is an opportunity for them to get there, you know, play in front of a big crowd, kind of simulate what a game will be similar to. And so I think it certainly has some value. So that's kind of what I got for this episode. You know, I hope you guys enjoyed it. Certainly would welcome any and all feedback. Something Anwar and I were kind of talking about, it's hard for us to know, you know, really like how we're doing on these things. You know, we get in front of the mic and we just hope that it's being received well. So, you know, I appreciate all of you for taking the time to listen. Certainly appreciate, you know, you choosing to spend your time listening to me rant a little bit about some Texas football and sometimes about, you know, a few other things. But all in all, you know, just truly grateful for the opportunity to, you know, just kind of engage with you guys in this manner. And I'm, you know, more than happy to, you know, have conversations offline, you know, talk about my thoughts and feelings. And, you know, if you have any questions, if you have any people you'd like to hear from, those kinds of things, let me know. I can be reached real easily at Marcus Myers on all social media. Real simple to find, and would love to, you know, have some dialogue. So that's going to do it for this episode. Like I said, this is episode number 22 of the Until the Whistle podcast. And again, I'm your host, Marcus Myers. Thank you to everybody out at the Yak. Thanks, Ross, you know, for all that you do with the editing and that kind of stuff. And just appreciate you guys giving us this platform. And hopefully we can continue to grow this thing. And I will catch you the next time the whistle blows.